This is a gospel program in which we seek to bring the claims of Jesus Christ to your attention. I trust you are found in circumstances so that you will be able to listen to the entire program. First of all, listen to a message in song. Testament, the Apostle Paul is one of the central figures, especially in the book of the Acts. A brief history is given of his life, even before he was converted, while he was still Saul of Tarsus. He was a very religious man, occupied with the forms and ceremonies of religion, very zealous and very sincere, and at the very same time, he hated Christ and he hated the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't think for a moment that Saul of Tarsus was a wicked man otherwise, except that his mind was set against Christ. He was a true representative of Adam's race. But Paul's history continues in the 9th chapter of Acts, and there we see a proud, religious, moral, educated Pharisee arrested by the Spirit of God on the road to Damascus. He is smitten by God. His pride is gone. His religion is gone, and he is bowed down in the dust, acknowledging himself as a lost, guilty sinner. And right there, he experiences the greatest event in any man's life, and that is his conversion. His conversion was not from a life of gross sin to Christ, but from being a very religious man to Christ. And may I pause for a moment with this question? It may be that I have friends in my radio audience who are very, very religious, very, very sincere. but you are not certain that you have experienced what the Bible calls a real conversion. Maybe you can't speak of any time that you have passed from death unto life. There are such things as counterfeit conversions. That is, there are such things as, conversions that grow upon you. You just gradually go to church and you read your Bible, you become more religious and you quit your meanness and so on, and eventually you feel maybe you have graduated into conversion. But the conversion that is spoken of in the Bible is a clean cut. You are walking in one direction for one moment, and then you turn around and see in the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, and you are converted as was the Apostle Paul. The difference between a Bible conversion and a counterfeit conversion is this, that in a Bible conversion, you get the assurance of your salvation, and you can say, I know that I have been saved and that I'm on the way to heaven. But coming back to Paul in the Acts, after he was converted from being a mere religionist, and he became a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, he became a chosen vessel to carry the gospel to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And you have that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. There's a sense in which every Christian is a witness the moment he is born again. One of the best proofs of a real conversion is the immediate desire to tell others how wonderful it is to be saved and know it. I must tell my neighbors and my friends. If it's not worth telling, it's most likely just a counterfeit conversion. After Paul's conversion, he immediately began to witness for his Savior. His message, according to 1 Corinthians 15, was how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is Paul's definition of the gospel, which in other words is God's good news of salvation. Among those that heard the sweet story from the lips of Paul was a governor by the name of Felix. The record of this is found in Acts chapter 24. Of course, the gospel demands a response or an answer, and after Paul preached the gospel to this governor, Felix pondered for certain days, and then he gave his reply. And it says, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Notice, Felix trembled. Judgment produces trembling. It causes a person to fear because as he comes under the sound of the word of God and realizes God knows all about me and my sins will eventually bring me into judgment, it does cause a man to fear, but trembling is not enough. It's possible for a person to become so alarmed of their sinful condition that they are in tears and come to God and they're all upset about their sins. But that's not sufficient, and as far as we know, that was all the evidence that we see of conviction in Felix. Felix trembled, but so far as the record is concerned, he was never saved. He wanted to be saved at a convenient season. The devil saw to it that no convenient season ever arrived. He led Felix to hell by suggesting that a more convenient time would eventually come. And thus poor Felix, though he was a prominent man, a governor, no doubt lost his opportunity by simply saying, I want to be saved at a later date. But as we read through the book of the Acts, we find that Paul again has the privilege of witnessing, and this time in the presence of a king. And that record is found in Acts chapter 26. King Agrippa hears the message of the gospel, and Paul puts the question to the king, Believest thou? And his reply is, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The king stood on the very threshold of salvation, but he never entered. And as far as the record is concerned, he is in hell today. Why? Because he didn't know how to be saved? Oh no. The Apostle Paul was very faithful in presenting the gospel to him. But he is lost because almost doesn't count. There are no doubt millions of souls in a lost eternity who were almost persuaded to become saved. That is, they sat perhaps under the sound of the gospel and the Spirit of God moved them. And there was a voice within that said, Tonight is the night that you ought to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But the Spirit of God was quenched, and that poor sinner drove away the opportunity. Maybe a number of times that the Spirit of God has been pushed away, and the person missed the opportunity of being saved. And so far as we know, King Agrippa, though a prominent man on earth, lost his soul and perished, even though he had a faithful man to witness before him and ask him, "Believest thou this?" And his poor reply was, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But then you read again in the book of the Acts, and you find this time he is presenting the gospel to an awakened jailer. And that's in chapter 16 of the book of the Acts. And you wouldn't expect a hard-boiled jailer to be interested in the gospel, but this man realizes that he's in a desperate need. He also is trembling, and he raises a wonderful question. The question is, what must I do to be saved? And Paul is right there on the moment. He's on the job, and he tells him the gospel message in the shortest possible terms: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this jailer, perhaps, so far as the eyes of the world is concerned, was a more or less despised man. At least he wasn't as prominent as King Agrippa, nor as Felix the governor. But he had the opportunity of being saved, and he seems to exercise more wisdom than even the governor or the king. For when he hears the message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the rest of the story has a very happy ending. The Philippian jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only that, members of his household also believed on Christ, and they were rejoicing in that wonderful salvation.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, marvelous! Oh, wonderful! And my song shall ever be. Oh, marvelous! Oh, wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, marvelous, oh, wonderful, is my Savior's love for me.
In the event that I have listeners who still feel that they need to learn more about God's wonderful offer of salvation before they can take that step of faith and settle the matter, let me suggest that you put forth a sincere effort to hear the gospel today. If you are not in the habit of attending services elsewhere, let this be my sincere and personal invitation to attend the services at the Gospel Center, which is located 500 North Driver Street in Durham. Our most popular service is the combined Sunday school and preaching service, which begins at 11 o'clock, a one-hour service that will be enjoyed by every member of your family. Experienced nursery keepers will care for the little ones, and dedicated Sunday school teachers will present the gospel on the children's level while the parents meet in the main auditorium. Our Sunday night service begins at 6:30 with hearty congregational singing. Each Tuesday morning at 10:15, Rod Sharp is conducting a special Bible study class which has been appreciated by many. The Gospel Center is non-denominational and is located 500 North Driver Street in Durham. May we have the pleasure of meeting you at the services that I have mentioned. Bring your Bible and learn with us more about God's Word. Thank you for lending your ears to our radio broadcast this morning.